this even more frustrating in terms of injuries this year because you've never had your full complement even going back to OTA?
Well, you said it. But what I always say at the beginning of the year is what you really pray for is that you can play with the team that you have when you come out of camp. And it doesn't last very long, but it is a part of the game, and it happens to every team.
How's Jaquan doing? We didn't see him out there.
He's still... Well, I don't know. He's got a headache. And
came back after yesterday?
No, he's had one.
Oh, okay.
It's really never stopped. So.
But is this one maybe more frustrating in the fact that you, going back, I mean, you know, OTA's David Wilson, and then from there on, it just was like one after another. I mean,
well, it certainly has been a huge, huge disappointment, and I try not to dwell on it, to be honest with you. You can't afford to. If you did, you'd be a basket case.
How's Herzlick's role changed now?
Herzlick is the same as he played last week, so special teams and defense.
How's Schwartz this week?
Schwartz has practiced and done all right. Yeah, I haven't noticed anything other than the fact he's been able to take some reps.
Have you settled on him to replace Pugh at right tackle?
I haven't settled on that. I mean, I have my thoughts about it, but I'm not prepared to share them yet.
Coach, 10 years ago today, you named Eli as your starting quarterback. Any thoughts on that anniversary and then the ride?
It's a heck of a move by me, wasn't it?
That's good coaching.
Hindsight is, you know. No, I was reminded of that this week. I wasn't aware of it, but I was reminded of that, and I was just reminded of the fact that at that point in time, you know, we had Kurt Warner as a great pro and just a great human being, an excellent, excellent quarterback. And, you know, I just didn't see what I wanted to see at that point. And we were, what, 4-5 or something of that nature. And I felt like it was time for the good of the franchise, to take the franchise quarterback and to put him on the field. And so we did. And, you know, it was an experience for Eli for that second half of the season, whatever you want to call it. But it was a good move in the long run because of obviously what happened the next year and then years to follow.
Tom, I know you got your own team to worry about. You might not even see it. But at the end of last night's game, the Raiders are on the verge of winning their first game, and a couple of players who haven't won in a year, maybe haven't won at all, are celebrating. And the guy who kind of said who settles everything is Justin Tuck, who calls a timeout. I think anyone who saw that, you know, the first thing they think is, well, here's a guy who came from someplace where it's not unusual to win. You know what it is. I mean, is there any satisfaction you might think about that? I mean, he's still associated with his time here, and so therefore people
sure
are thinking of is that you know,
sure
this is what, you know.
Sure he is. Justin Tuck was an excellent football player for us for an awful lot of years, 2 rings. But I heard of this. I did not see it. But it's not surprising, you know.
I think it's also an association for what he learned here, though.
Right,
so, I mean, it's also a reflection, a positive reflection.
And I think, well, we're a very big situation-oriented team and doing things the right way and understanding the circumstances. And I remember just mentioning to the Raider people that, you know, to make sure that Justin's role was also to help, you know, train the young players, help share his experiences with the young players, and obviously that's perhaps what he did.
Tom, since we've gone down memory lane with you several times, one more with the game with the Jets and Bills being moved to Detroit. You guys have obviously been talked about the last...
Yeah, a little bit different, though. We're in the air headed for someplace. We don't have a hotel. We get steered to Kansas City. We're just fortunate to find a hotel. And... you know, and then we still didn't know when we were going to play. And then we got the news about the roof falling in and all of that stuff. And then finally, the decision was made. And the thing that was most impressive about that whole circumstance with the players was, you know, it's midstream adjust is the phrase we use. And they handled it well. You know, they handled it very well. And, you know, we ended up playing Monday night.
To go back to the Eli thing for a minute, he's done a lot of impressive things for you. The fact that he started every one of those games since that point, where does that sort of rank to you, and what does that sort of say about him? I mean, it seems like that. I mean, in this game, that seems to be
That's a most impressive statistic to be able to line up and play all those games consecutively and to accumulate the number of games that he started in. It's a tribute to his toughness and his will to want to play and his desire to be on the field as the captain of the New York Giants and lead his team. I mean, I've seen him. I remember there were times, one time when, you know, the speculation was that his shoulder was hurt and he wouldn't be able to play. Well, he didn't throw all week, but he took the field and started the game and threw the ball and did well. So it's a great testimony to his toughness and his desire and his the inspiration and the motivation that he has to play the game.
Okay. Can I ask one more? You've gone against DeMarco Murray before. What is the challenges when you face him now? Sort of this year, maybe even compared to the past.
To me, he's running stronger. He is just as fast as he's always been, which is a playmaker. He catches the ball out of the backfield and makes you wonder if you're ever going to get him down, even on a check down. So, what I see is the powerful nature of the way he's running the ball this year, and the fact that you know he's got over 1,200 yards, and he has all those carries, and he's still going strong.
Okay.